You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, and anywhere podcasts are hosted. Today's episode, we are getting you ready for the Super Bowl. We've got a lot to talk about, and to do it with me, we've got Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI in Pittsburgh. First, Antonio Brown and Bruce Arians, two guys that are getting ready for the Super Bowl to play for Tampa Bay. They had some things to say about the Steelers. Well, a little bit less about Antonio Brown, more so about what Bruce Arians had to say about Ben Roethlisberger. We'll get to that in the first segment. Then in the second segment, there's awards and Hall of Fame talk for this weekend. We're going to get you ready by talking about which Steelers could go up in both. Then finally, Super Bowl predictions galore. Jenna and I make a few bets to place down, and we're going to get you ready because we know we've been really close in our picks this year. So we're going to make it wild and wacky for our final week of picking for the 2020 season. Let's get into it. So as always, on Friday here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, we like to bring our friend in here, Jenna Harner from Channel 11, WPXI in the building. Jenna, how you doing?
I am doing wonderfully. It is Super Bowl weekend.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Oh, it's a great week. Really can't complain.
And can't complain at all. There's been a lot of exciting stuff happening. You know, sports is going great because we got hockey and basketball going, both in the pros and in college. And now you get the Super Bowl to talk about. So there's been a lot of excitement in the air this week. Now, of course, one of the big things that happens every Super Bowl year, Jenna, is Radio Row, where it's not the same as it used to be because now everyone's just on Zoom like it's nothing else. But normally there'd be all these festivities and these booths that you had to go to talk to different players and different coaches and their availabilities. And of course, with former Steelers coaches and players being in Super Bowl, there's been a lot of conversation with them. Now, Le'Veon Bell spoke earlier in the week and said he had no regrets, but the two more recent comments that came up from the Buccaneers side were from former offensive coordinator for the Steelers, Bruce Arians, and of course, star receiver Antonio Brown. I want to dive into Brown's comments first, because Brown kind of came from he's at peace sort of position in his life, because he's on a team that's going to the Super Bowl. And according to John Ledyard of Pewter Report, and a former host of the Locked On Steelers podcast, he says that it's looking good for Antonio Brown to play in this Super Bowl. Antonio Brown, you know, comes off, he says, you know, his connections with Tom Brady's been great. He feels like he's at peace with things. He talked about how, you know, he still talks to Mike Tomlin, and, you know, he addressed a lot of the things that, like, where he's come from since, you know, he was constantly on social media, just screwing everything up. There was an interesting approach to these comments that I thought that you brought up and that I saw and I agreed with from the Athletics, a football writer for the Athletic, Lindsey Jones. And I'm just going to read her tweets, and then I want to get your thoughts, Jenna, here. But Lindsey Jones says, my takeaway from Antonio Brown's 25-minute media session is he seems to believe that he's a victim. He mentioned haters and doubters. Remember this when you see AB redemption arc stories this week, that this was all self-inflicted. What Antonio Brown has been through over the last year and a half was of his own doing. He hasn't taken accountability for it. He was given many chances in his media session to do so, and he didn't. Says also AB was given many chances by reporters to progress his overcoming adversity narrative, but that's a different conversation. Jenna, when you heard what Antonio Brown was saying, what was going through your mind?
I mean, Lindsey just put it so perfectly. I think she summed up how a lot of people look at AB from the outside, Steelers fans or people, you know, not necessarily tied in with the Steelers. And the fact that a lot of this narrative is his own doing. It wasn't things on the football field. It wasn't, oh, you know, it wasn't an Alex Smith story. You know, I have this horrific leg injury. I came back. I'm dealing, you know, I achieved these great things. This was all off the field, horrific incidents brought upon him by himself. And mm-hmm. I think that's what, for me, the most frustrating part about seeing this is. And again, like Lindsay put so well, like it was all his own doing and he still hasn't taken full accountability for everything. Is it good that he was able to get back into the league and, you know, behave well enough to still play in the NFL? Sure, if you want to give him claps for that, go ahead, you can do that. That's what every player should be doing at a right. minimum.
Yeah.
But just the fact that he's still trying to play the victim in this scenario to me is kind of outrageous.
And see, this is a worrying point for me because, you know, when all the stuff was going on with Antonio Brown, there was a lot of people who were saying, good, this is great. This is what I want to see is him falling apart. And there were some people who were like, no, like, we don't like this. And my thing was, you know, because there was a lot of people out there saying, like, why do you feel bad for Antonio Brown? And for me, it's not feeling bad for Antonio Brown. It's more so about there are people that are around him, like his children, who need him to not be this unstable jerk. For lack of a better word that I can't cuss on the air. But he was being so damaging to his life that he came off so erratic to me that anything he could do at any point in time could put himself, his children, his family in danger. And when we saw that where, you know, the wife, the mother of his children was having disputes with him and she had to call the police and he was throwing gummy appendages you know what I mean, I'll say it, gummy penises, they were gummy, he was throwing them at the cops on Instagram Live and broadcasting it so the whole world would know what he was doing. And it was just like he was just the most destructive force in his own life. This wasn't Colin Kaepernick. He wasn't you know, taken out of the NFL because of some issue with that. No, he did this to himself. And again, he left an organization that was taking care of him and was willing to put up with his shenanigans up to an extent. That to me, I agree, is the story there, is that he, you know, is it good that he is not doing those crazy things anymore and he's on an organization that where he's able to just kind of do his job and not be a headline every week? Yes, that is good for just himself and people and just peace in the world. But it's not good that it don't seem like he's learned his lesson.
No. And again, there's so many, the fact that he was given opportunities by reporters, like they're lobbing him softballs in a yes. sense for him to be able to say, you know, yeah, I'm really sorry for all that I did. I'm excited. Like, it just, I get it, not with AB, but in terms of athletes in general, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to say exactly the words that you want to say, but even if he just says something as simple as, you know, I'm really sorry for all the trouble that I caused up to this point. I know that I'm not going to get the apologies. I'm not looking for that, but I do want to apologize. Now let's move forward to football. I think you'd be in a lot better place because it's not everything, but it's a start.
It certainly is. Now, We gotta keep this rolling. Before we go to our first break, I wanted to talk about this as well. Bruce Arians, also in speaking, he started to talk about Tom Brady. And in his talking about Tom Brady, he brought up Ben Roethlisberger. And of course, people who might forget, Bruce Arians took over for offensive coordinator around 2007 when Mike Tomlin came in. He was Ben's offensive coordinator, I think, until 2012. This is where he was asked when he was asked, this is what his response was when he was asked about Tom Brady. He says, quote, with Tom, it's not much to tweak. It's just a matter of verbiage. When he came in and we were talking in free agency about one guy learning the language versus another 20 guys learning the language because they had been in the system, he was all in as far as learning the system. There's not much to tweak. He definitely knows how to take care of himself. He's a great, great player. His preparation reminds me so much of Peyton Manning. Those two guys set the bar as far as preparation for the guys that I've coached. You know, standard stuff there, Jenna. But here's where it got a little interesting. He says, Ben, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, didn't want that stuff. He just liked to go play. And he knew what he was doing, but didn't want to overload him. Andrew Luck has the same way. He was so smart. All these guys have a grit about them that they can will themselves on other people and make them win. So there's a few ways to read this, Jen, and I've seen people react to them on Twitter and different ways. You know, there's some people that are saying, oh, that's just, yeah, Ben, he was just so good. He didn't need to do all those type of things. But to me, it also says that maybe if he did all of those things, he still could have been a lot better than he has been in his career. It's interesting that he talked about the level of preparation of two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Yep. Is that much more involved than what Ben Roethlisberger's done.
And it was so interesting to me because my immediate thought when I read this, it was kind of along the same lines. I'm like, oh, is this not a diss, but is this, you know, the other side of the coin compared to Manning and Brady here in that sense? Like, and it was so interesting also because, again, coming to the Steelers or coming to Pittsburgh and covering the Steelers, being so new covering this team, like, I've been picking up a lot of things, but, you know, Arians was Ben's guy when he was here. He was one of those kind of same relationship, at least I'm believing, that Finger and Ben had in terms of like being each other's guy and having that role. So this is kind of interesting. And I think you can read into it a lot of different ways. And I think everybody, again, everyone on Twitter has an opinion and everybody feels like it's definitely that, you know, he meant this or no, he meant this by it. But I think it's just interesting and it's really telling and it's kind of telling of the way that we look at Ben and especially this season in particular. My mind immediately went to when we were talking, you know, after the Titans game, after the Titans game, when, you know, Ben was quote unquote drawing plays in the dirt, like that's where my mind immediately went to.
And see, that's the thing that I've always had about Ben is that we can talk about his ability to improvise and things like that, but there were too often, especially younger in his career, when Bruce Arians was working with him, that too many times he was just trying to improvise and he wasn't reading the field as well. And I think that's something he improved with while with Todd Haley, because he needed to be able to see the field so he didn't hold on to the ball so much and keep getting hit every play. But to me, that was just an interesting way to come at it. And like you said, you know, Bruce Arians is Ben's guy. They're friends. Like they still hang out together. They drink together. They play golf together. Like they are boys. And for Bruce Arians to kind of throw that out there, it definitely didn't mean it as a diss, but it's an acknowledgement. And it's the same thing Emmanuel Sanders said when he left the Steelers in the early 2010s, went to the Broncos, and he said this Peyton Manning's level of preparation is just on another level. I've never seen anything like this. And he didn't even mention Ben Roethlisberger by name, but immediately everyone was like, oh, he's coming at Ben. And it's just like, all he's saying is what is the truth? And now here's a guy who's always supported Ben Roethlisberger, never spoke ill of him, and he's saying the same exact thing.
Yeah. And I mean, every quarterback has different learning styles. Every quarterback has different styles of preparation. So I think I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt too, but this is just a really interesting, like you said, the fact that, especially with Sanders saying that about Peyton compared, not, I guess, well, Peyton just as Peyton in general, not entirely saying it towards Ben, but with Arians saying this too, it's just, you know, it's something to ponder.
It certainly is. We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, there's on top of the Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of awards given out this weekend, not just yearly awards, but also who's going to make the Hall of Fame this year. We're going to talk about what Steelers can be involved in those. But first, we got to talk to our friends at Echelon. Introducing Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind, and the EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's Echelon fit.com/lockedon. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of WPXI in Pittsburgh. Jenna, there's a few things to talk about here that Steelers fans are going to pay the most attention to. Now, of course, on Saturday before the Super Bowl every year, they do the award show. So this is where you find out who's the NFL MVP, who's, you know, defensive MVP. And, you know, we all know Steelers fans got two awards they got their eyes on, and that's defensive MVP with TJ Watt and maybe comeback player of the year with Ben Roethlisberger. Those two, I think that Ben's kind of out of it because Alex Smith's story is just too great to pass up. And it's just amazing how, I mean, that guy could have died and now he's playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But TJ Watt, a lot of people felt like he was dissed last year for not being defensive player of the year and them choosing Stephon Gilmore. This year, he led the NFL in sacks. He led them in what, tackles for loss, pressures, and for the guys who were closest to him in that regard, he had more passes defensed. He had an interception. The one thing he didn't have a whole lot of was forced fumbles. But still, there's an interesting conversation about will he get it, because there's always Aaron Donald, who's just been Mr. Defensive MVP for the past several years.
Yeah, and this is one of the ones I feel like I look at this and it's like, how can you not say TJ Watt? But then there's always, you know, one or two of these that go to a guy like Aaron Donald, and then people can start the debate. Oh, you know, well, TJ Watt had all these stats, but Donald had these stats and all that. Right. And like, Donald forced more fumbles. But I mean, with Watt's stats, I believe, I'm pretty sure I'm correct, I think like 5 or 6 categories in the NFL, including sacks, he led the league. And that's really, really, really hard to ignore. You can't ignore that. And I don't think the committee will either. This seems like it should be a shoe-in to me. I think that, again, compared to, you know, other categories, especially the comeback player of the year, this should be one that Steelers fans get really excited about. And, you know, when they see their guy, I think he should be, just because of what we saw out of him this season and everything that he did, especially, I think, and I, again, granted, I'm not on the committee that decides this, so I don't entirely know what goes into the way people vote and things along those lines, but with the adversity that the Steelers defense dealt with as a whole this mm-hmm. season, and especially for TJ to perform the way he did and sustain that performance throughout the season, to me, this just seems kind of like, yeah, he's the guy.
I mean, again, 15 sacks. The next closest is Aaron Donald with 13.5. And Aaron Donald also played one more game because they rested TJ Watt for the end of the season. His 23 tackles for loss, most in the NFL. His 41 quarterback hits, most in the NFL. And again, along with that, he does have 2 forced fumbles and 7 passes broken up, and an interception to his name. I get if someone wants to say Aaron Donald is still the better player, and saying that him at defensive tackle is still better than TJ Watt at the edge rusher. But if this award is about who was the most important person on defense in the season of 2020, I just have a hard time ignoring TJ Watt in that conversation.
Yeah, I feel like you really can't, because again, what he did for this team, especially with being injury plagued. And again, that you look at that most important aspect. Not that Donald isn't, but I think if you just look at the two at face value and what they were able to do for their teams this season, I feel like you have to pick Watt. I do.
I'm with you there. We'll see if it happens on Saturday. I guarantee you, if it's not TJ Watt, there will be a riot on Pittsburgh Twitter.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's not the case, because that's exactly what will happen.
We will be fanning the flames. That'll be my entire Monday show, is just fanning the flames. You know, but okay, let's move on to the other part of the awards. Now, of course, there's also the 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Now, there are a few Steelers that could be up for this. Now, Hines Ward, technically, Hines Ward's out of the consideration. Get that out of your mind. But Alan Faneca is the legit Steelers player that has the best chance. Now, I know a Hall of Fame voter in Dale Lolley. He presented for Troy Polamalu. And I believe Alan Faneca last year when Troy got voted in. So he's given me the impression that Faneca has a strong push this year to become the guy, because he's been waiting around for quite some time. And there's a lot of acknowledgement by people all across the board that he was the best guard of his generation, including Bruce Arians, who brought it up again this week in Super Bowl Row. But the whole thing about that is that, of course, it doesn't matter what anyone says at this point in time. The votes have been cast. They are sitting in a ballot, and we're waiting to just announce who's the winner on Saturday. But Jenna, between Alan Faneca and the other legendary Steeler who's up for Hall of Fame, and that's Bill Nunn, that's the Steelers scout and personnel director who was the catalyst of finding several of the HBCU players that helped build that 70s dynasty. He's a contributor finalist for the NFL. And from what I understand, if you are a contributor finalist, it is a given that you are going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Wanted to get your reaction, just things that you've heard and seen, and just where you see the kind of Hall of Fame voting this year.
Yeah, I starting with Nunn, I think that absolutely he's going to be inducted this year. I think, like you kind of mentioned, he is that shoe-in, but just I think everybody looking at his history and recognizing it so much more this year has just been incredible. And for someone that, again, hasn't, you know, covered this organization my entire life, and learning about the history of what Bill Nunn did for this organization and how impactful he was in bringing these players from HBCUs. I'm correct with that, right?
That's yes. Yeah,
from bringing them, recruiting, going out and getting them, and just being such a big impact on the legacy that this Steelers organization had. I think this is something, again, I don't see why anybody wouldn't vote him in, kind of thing. I think with players, you can always make your cases, but for a guy like Nunn, it's kind of like, yeah, no, this is absolutely, he's absolutely a shoe-in. I think with Faneca, he should be inducted too. There's been so much talk about what he did for the team back then, the kind of player that he was. And I've been hearing a lot of things where it's like, okay, last year should have been the year for him to get in, but it's like, okay, now this year really is the year type thing. But then it is kind of interesting too, and in having some conversations around the building here, and just kind of picking up on history of things like that. Like it almost seems like the voters don't entirely want to be like all in on Steelers and 100% like, oh, Steelers, Steelers, Steelers. And I think everybody's also forgetting a little bit. I do not believe this is contributing to the voting in any sense, but like with all the Steelers that are going to be inducted because of the delay of the 2020 induction too, I think that is just an interesting little aspect here. I think both of these guys should get in this year, and I think we'll hear both of their names this weekend. However, again, you never know. It's always, these things are always so interesting as well. But if I just had to like go with my gut feeling, this is, I think we're going to see both of them be announced for this year's class.
I think it would be very interesting to see both. And on top of Bill Nunn, I mean, we are in Black History Month. It wasn't just the Steelers that he opened the doors for, because what he did, a lot of historically Black college university athletes, players who attended those HBCUs, they weren't getting recognized nationally. And he created a whole All-American list, or a top 100 HBCU football players list that he would do a banquet for. He would search them out. He would scout them, and then he would bring them to Pittsburgh. And because he was the editor at the Pittsburgh Courier, which was, you know, the dominant Black newspaper of the country for quite some time. And in his doing that, the Rooneys recognized, like, this guy knows talent. And they brought him in, and they made him part of their staff. And at first he was resistant, because he's like, y'all don't give me credentials. Y'all, you know, your PR staff has blown me off for years. But they made that right. They gave him credentials, and eventually he agreed to become a scout. And it was his searching that helped find players like John Stallworth and Donnie Shell, who were two of the five guys who helped make the greatest, you know, draft class of all time in 1974. And when you look at Bill Nunn's legacy, once the Steelers started pulling those players for years, because the other players like Mel Blunt were brought in, once they started pulling those players, every other team in the NFL was like, oh, so HBCUs do have supreme athletes. And then, I mean, over the next decade or so, you saw players like Jerry Rice and Walter Payton, some of the greatest players of all time, come from HBCUs and get real opportunities to play. So Bill Nunn opened up plenty of doors, even beyond just for the Steelers, for the entire NFL. I think that's going to be huge for them to recognize this month. But to Alan Faneca debate, is interesting, because here are of the 20, there are 25 semifinalists. There's 25 semifinalists that went into it in January. That was whittled down to 15 finalists. Now, of the 15 finalists, Here are the players. And again, Alan Fanica being the only Steeler here. The first year guys are Charles Woodson, Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, and Jared Allen. But then there's Fanica, Tony Boselli, the longtime Jaguars tackle, Rondae Barber, Torrey Holt, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, Reggie Wayne, Sam Mills, and Leroy Butler, and Clay Matthews Jr. Now, Jenna, usually I think the rules are you have to get 80% of the voters to get in. And usually you get what, like five people. Peyton Manning's in. He's first ballot. Who cares? He's going in. I think Charles Woodson is among that crew as well.
I think
he's fifth all time in interceptions in the NFL. He gets in that way. I'm not so sure Calvin Johnson and Jared Allen fit that category. Whereas both of them were amazing players and the best in their position for a time. I feel like Calvin Johnson if he had stayed in the game longer, one, he'd still be playing. Two, I think then he would have built a stronger resume for this, but there can be arguments that like, well, are you a first ballot Hall of Famer? Because T.O. had to wait, Randy Moss had to wait, Chris Carter had to wait. A lot of great receivers have had to wait their time, and they had more accomplished careers than he did.
Yep, and I think that is. It's just. I feel like there's so many not unwritten rules, I guess, but there's so many little nuances tied in with voting and who gets in and when they get in and how the process is and how long do they wait, all that type of thing. So this process is just so interesting to me on that level in itself. But yeah, I mean, basically it's what there's are arguably three spots up for grabs, maybe four. And does Fanica fit in there? You know, we will see on Saturday.
We will certainly see. It's going to be a thing to watch. We'll be talking about this on the Monday show with who does get in. If Fanica doesn't get in, don't riot. If you're riding about TJ Watt, don't necessarily need to ride about Alan Fanica, but hopefully you don't got to ride about none of them. But, you know, Locked On Steelers listeners, we know you ride at dawn. So that's what we do out here. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, it's time to actually talk about the Super Bowl, break things down. We've heard all week about what's going to happen. Jenna and I give you our predictions after this. But first, a word from our friends at betonline.ag. On the Locked On Podcast Network, the only place that we trust to place bets is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account, and with your first deposit to betonline.ag, you can get a 50% bonus. That happens if you enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word. On betonline.ag, with the Super Bowl coming, there's so many things to bet on. Not just who wins the game, not just who scores the most points, not just how many points are scored, but even the halftime show. You could talk about what kind of gloves will the weekend win where he performs. Who's going to get the first turnover? How many turnovers could there be? So many things to bet on and so many different ways to make money off the Super Bowl on betonline.ag. Get off the sidelines. Get in on the action. And don't forget, when you do, you can sign up for a free account and get a 50% bonus to your first deposit by entering the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters and all one word. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host Chris Carter here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. Jenna, it's Super Bowl Friday, which means that Super Bowl Sunday is just 2 days away. It's extremely exciting. It's Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. We've been hearing it all week. Every day it's been okay. Is Patrick Mahomes, is he about to surpass Tom Brady? Is Tom Brady about to show him that he's this, that, and the third? To me, there are several components to this game where, yes, they are the biggest names here, but there's going to be a lot of players that can really impact this game that aren't necessarily just the quarterbacks, especially players on defense as far as getting after these quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because there's so much of the discussion, and again, rightfully so, is, you know, Mahomes versus Brady. Is it the changing of the guard? Is it, you know, the goat versus the baby goat? Like, I feel like they're used ad nauseum right now at this point. I'm like, oh my God, yes, we get it. It's Mahomes versus Brady, what everybody wants to see. I get it. I understand. But it's just, there's so many little fascinating things about this game and matchups to watch and which defensive line and offensive line has the better chance against their opponent and who these guys are. I think a lot of people are looking at Kansas City's offensive line right now, and there's some question marks considering it's Eric Fisher that went down, right? Is that
yes.
It?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Eric Fisher goes down in the AFC Championship. Their center is not practicing this week and because of the whole COVID almost scare, which that in itself, oh man, was it Zach Banner's tweet who said one barber literally just almost took down the entire NFL?
Yeah, that was great. So for those who don't know what that's about, they literally had a guy who was brought to the Chiefs bubble to be able to cut Patrick Mahomes' hair, and mid haircut, they found out he had tested positive for COVID or had a contact for COVID. He was pulled from the bubble immediately in that because they did not want him to contaminate Patrick Mahomes. That is crazy. And Zach Banner's right. If Patrick Mahomes had been pulled from the Super Bowl because of a barber, I know we've joked and said, like, there's no way that they could delay a game because of a COVID. I legitimately think the NFL would have been like, nah. We are not playing this game without Patrick Mahomes. We would lose so much money. It would be ridiculous. There's so many viewers who would turn this game off. We got to keep that guy here. But that's how serious this thing is right now. But I look at some of the matchups here that, like you said, with Eric Fisher being out, that Buccaneers defense gets after the quarterback. Shaquille Barrett is one of the baddest dudes in the league. When it comes to getting sacks, we saw it in the playoffs. He really turned it on this year. And again, in the big moments, Jason Pierre-Paul had 9.5 sacks on the season. Barrett had 8 sacks on the season. The two of them as edge rushers combined to be a true problem, for so many times. And they have Ndamukong Suh in the middle. And then you got Devin White playing inside linebacker, Lavonte David working with him at linebacker position, and the two of them dealing with stuff. And then, they're supposed to, Jordan Whitehead, fresh out of Pitt, he's playing really well at safety. It looks like the Buccaneers might get Antoine Winfield back. They've got talent on defense, and they've lived off of the turnovers that they've been able to force in their last two playoff wins against the Saints and the Packers. The question for me is, can they get those turnovers on Kansas City? Now, sometimes it doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes they can force a fumble. We saw Mecole Hardman fumble a snap in the AFC Championship game. Or not a snap. He fumbled. He muffed the punt in the AFC Championship game. But we rarely see Patrick Mahomes be careless with the football. And even when he is, it seems like the Chiefs' offense is just so high-powered that it ends up not mattering in the end.
Yeah, and I think this game really is going to come down to turnovers because, like you said, that has been what Tampa Bay has been thriving on the last couple of weeks that they've been in action, and they've been able to do those against the Saints and Drew Brees and against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to be interested to see. Again, Mahomes is someone we don't usually see make all of these mistakes. I feel like I'm trying to remember the last time he fumbled, and it was a really crucial fumble, and I just can't seem to – I mean, granted, It's a Friday, so our brain is there, but it's just, you don't see that happen with a guy like Mahomes. So it is going to be that kind of matchup where can Tampa Bay's defense force the Chiefs to turn the ball over, and can they capitalize it? And how high powered can Kansas City's offense be? Can they keep that consistent scoring that we've seen? I mean, they just do it so well, what we saw in that AFC Championship game where it's like, okay, yeah, we saw Mahomes say to Hardman on the sideline. He's like, all right, next play. Like, they were down, what was it, 10-0, 10-3 at that point?
I think it was 9-0 at one point.
Yeah.
And it was after the Hardman fumble. And what's crazy, if you take away that Hardman fumble, the Bills might be down like 38-7 the fourth quarter, because I think it was 38-15 or something like that. Yep. You take away that fumble, the Bills had no answers for what the Chiefs were doing, and the Bills were the hottest team in the NFL.
Yeah, they were. We talked about how much of an offensive power that they were. So I think Kansas City, you just see that they're that next level offense, and we know how hard it is to repeat in this league. Granted, yes, we've seen it from the Patriots. you know, arguably you can see it from the Chiefs this weekend. I think that's probably what's going to happen, but I think that's only because of how high powered their offense is. Mm-hmm. But again, probably also going to come down to their offensive line and how long they can hold, you know, how much they can protect Mahomes and give him time to throw the ball. Granted, he doesn't need that much time ever, it seems like, but I think that is going to be a huge, huge factor here.
Now, Jenna, Joe Berkey, who's been tracking, and we thank you, Joe Berkey, for doing this. He's a Locked On listener. He's been a loyal Locked On listener for quite some time. Excuse me. He came out and said that you are one game behind me, but I'm a little confused because I'm pretty sure you picked the Bills and I picked the Packers, and it was last week was a wash, and you were two games behind me. And if last week was a wash, you're still two games behind me, which means the Super Bowl really don't matter because then I would win anyways. Jenna and I have been picking all throughout the season, and Joe Berkey has been tracking our results. But I am willing to throw in some extra prop bets here that will count the same as games in the, you know, to make up some ground here. Okay. Because we like drama here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You guys like drama, you listeners on the other end. I know you do.
Yeah.
So, all right. We're going to pick the result of the game. Then we're going to pick an over under situation. And then that's where I'm struggling. Is trying to find that third stat that we could do. And that'll be the determining factor. And is that if you're able to get all three, you win.
Okay.
Cause we want to make it so that it's possible. Okay. Once again, I have forgot to just place a coin over here for us to flip things. We'll figure something out.
I'll Google. There's an app for that.
Oh, of course. That. What am I saying? Yeah, we have a spin. I used a spinner app for another show that I did last week. So what am I saying? Flip a coin. Like flip a coin website. Boom. That's what we're flip a coin. There we go. Boom. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this the modern way, folks. Preparing to flip. Okay. Whoa. I didn't ask you to flip already. It just flipped.
I think it's after refresh. And I did the same thing. I was like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah. Right. We're tripping here. All right. So, okay. What we're going to do is, so like I said, we're going to pick who wins. We're going to pick the over under how many points are scored in this game. And then I guess, so I want to say how many passing touchdowns, but that relates to how many points are scored. Maybe how many turnovers are in this game on both sides.
Okay.
That could be that because I feel like that's going to be a huge factor in this game. And my mouse froze. There we go. We're back. So first thing we're going to do here, we're going to flip. Whoever wins this coin toss gets to pick their winner of the Super Bowl. Okay. So here we go. We're flipping. Oh, wait, I should have asked. Shit. Wait, what is the point of me flipping a coin if I don't know what Jenna, are you calling heads?
Like, okay.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, that had nothing to do with anything. All right, we're going to redo this again. Pardon my language. All right, Jenna, which side of the coin do you call?
Tails.
Okay, you called tails last time. It didn't work for you, and it is tails. All right, so you get to pick the winner of the game. Ooh. I'll pick the other two. I'll pick the other two of the over-unders on scoring and then turnovers. But you get to pick who you think is going to win the game and explain to the fans why.
Okay. I'm going with the Chiefs, but I think it's going to be very close. I'm going with like a 28-24 type thing. I think it will be – it would have been higher offensively if – I mean, it's still a high score, but if these two teams don't turn the ball over, which we will get to. But I think there are going to be some turnovers here. But I just see Kansas City – it's going to be one of those games where it feels like they take like a 14-7 lead, then they score, and it's 21-7. And then Tampa fights their way back in it, but I don't think it's going to be – it's not going to be as close as the score looks at the end. I just think that with what Kansas City has been able to do offensively this whole season and just kind of keeping that consistency. It's Patrick Mahomes. I know it's hard not to bet against Brady. And I feel like it's like, oh, I do think though, hold me to this. I think the Chiefs win, However, if Tom Brady is in a situation where he has a 2-minute drill to win the game, more likely than not, you'll see that happen. So I don't think that gets in that situation, but if it does get to that situation, I think that's what we see, just because it's classic vintage Tom Brady, and that's what in this whole league is used to.
All right, so you have picked the Chiefs, which means I have to pick the Buccaneers for the sake of this game that we're playing here. So if the Chiefs win, that's their first step to your road to comebackage. Now, my thing here is with the over-under, according to betonline.ag, the over-under for gambling on this game for how many points will be scored total between the two teams is 56. I am taking the over. There's no way I don't see at least both of these teams score, one of these teams scoring 30 points and the other team scoring at least 27 points. I can't see this being a low scoring, low 20s affair, but with the offensive firepower on both sides of the ball. And again, because when the Chiefs get going, the Buccaneers will also need to get going, and they have the talent to do so. I think that I agree with you. I think the Chiefs will win. I have to pick the Buccaneers for the sake of the game that we're playing right now. But I just, I can't see any way for these teams to not put up points. The question for me though is turnovers, because although I'm looking for a turnover game prop here on betonline.eg and I am not finding it. So I guess maybe we got to pick a different prop here, but you know, for me, this is going to be a scoring affair. I think both teams have talented defenses that can take advantage of situations, but not defenses that can get consistent three and outs, and make this a game where there's several punts back and forth. I actually don't think there will be that many punts in this game.
No, I don't think we'll see a lot of punts. You might see teams having to settle for field goals, but I don't see this being a punting battle by any means.
All right. So I'm looking for different prop bets here.
I know, I'm like deep diving in. Total intercept. There's like, it breaks it down obviously by, you know, category. But
so wait a second. Here are some of the crazy prop bets that you can bet on betonline.ag. Not the turnovers. You're not going to get this. All right. What's the color of the Weeknd's jacket when he's first seen?
Oh, or the color of the jacket. I always know like the first song and all that.
Red is going at minus 150, black at plus 125, white at plus 400, blue and purple both at 700.
Oh, I feel like I want to say black only because the red seems too much for me, and it's going to be more, everyone's going to be talking about his face, that whole shenanigan. So yeah, I'll go with black on that one.
Go with black. These are the crazy things. There's another one that says, will he be seen with glove on his hands? With gloves on his hands. There's, will he be seen with sunglasses? These are the crazy things that you can bet on. I can't believe that there's people that actually put money down, but they do put money down on these things. So,
I do always love the what's the coin toss? What's the color of the Gatorade gonna be? Which means it'll be red.
Yeah. Just saying. Let's see. Huh. There's a will Bitcoin be up or down on Super Bowl Sunday? That's ridiculous. How is Bitcoin a betting aspect in this? That's insane.
That's
old. Oh my goodness.
Pick the craziest one. I feel like that's how we have to end this season.
You know what? That's fair. That's fair. Let's see. Let's scroll down and see what wild things. All right. This is it. This is who will be. This is our third line here. The question is, who will the Super Bowl MVP refer to first in their speech?
Oh, yes. Definitely God.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
So, okay. You're taking God. So the top item here at plus 100 are his teammates. Plus 225 is God and religion. Plus 700 is the USA. Plus 700 is the winning city, so Tampa Bay or Kansas City. Plus 900 is his family. Plus 1,000 are his coaches. And plus 2,000 for the big dollars is the team owner. So you're going with God and religion, no matter who it is. If it's Brady or Mahomes, you're going with God.
I feel like it's always, we always hear it. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to go with teammates. I'm going to go with teammates. I'm trusting the odds makers here on betonline.ag. You said that's the most likely thing. So I'm going with this. Or going with this here. So Joe Berkey, mark it down. Our three betting points here. Jenna has the Chiefs. I have the Buccaneers. Not by choice. We're playing the game. I am saying the over of 56 points scored in this game. So it has, if it's under, Jenna wins that. And then whoever wins Super Bowl MVP, and it'll be really funny if it's just some random guy, like if it's, you know, like Ross Cockrell gets two pick sixes in this game and he's the Super Bowl MVP. and then he says, God, like, I just see Tom Brady and he's saying, I love my teammates and my new teammates. And it's gotta be that, right? But yeah. If Patrick Mahomes wins it, then what does he say? I don't know. So like I said, yeah, so Jenna has under 56 points. I have over 56 points. She is the Chiefs. I have the Buccaneers. I have the first person that the MVP or the first person or identity that the MVP refers to in their speech is teammates. She has God/religion. This is going to be great. This is going
to
be
great. I can't wait.
If Jenna wins all three. So watch this be like a 24-21 game where the Chiefs win and Patrick Mahomes wins MVP. And he says, I want to thank God. She will win our pick derby after a wild, crazy year.
Don't count me out yet. I'm still living.
This is insane. All right. So Joe Berkey, you've been doing a great job of tracking this in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Please mark that down and keep track of this because we're both going to be channel 11 getting it up for Final Word, I believe, that night. So we're both going to be busy. So we'll need your help to help keep track of things. But all things aside, it's going to be a wild and crazy Super Bowl. It should be a lot of fun. We hope that you get to enjoy it, you know, at home or with somebody. And as long as you make sure you're staying safe, masking up, doing it, taking every precaution you need to out there. Thanks so much for listening this week to the Locked On Steelers podcast. And thank you, Jenna, for always appearing on Fridays. We appreciate you doing this as always. We're looking forward to keep having you on the show. Please let people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
I am always glad to be here on a Friday. We have, you know, it's Friday. What's not to love? you can follow me on Twitter at Jenna Harner 11, Instagram at Jenna_Harner. Bunch of stuff on WPXI, kind of like all our daily newscasts at 6:10 or sportscast, I should say, at 6:10 and 11. And we're doing a lot of really cool stuff. Keep an eye out for some really cool Black History Month stories that tie into sports that I've been working on. Just got a lot of cool things ahead.
Absolutely. You guys know you can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. I'm also my Instagram handle as well. Like I said earlier, you can join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. We have our mailbag sessions. You can also join over 1,100 other loyal Steelers fans who are loyal listeners to the show. Talk with them all throughout the week. See what it's like. It's a nice, friendly community. Come and join us. You can also talk to myself and several other people who are guests on this show as they are part of that group. So do check out the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. And remember to subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, radio.com, anywhere podcasts are hosted. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. When you do that, it helps get the word out there. It shows people that there's other people that like this show, and it really helps us out because it bumps us up the rankings and says, hey, Locked On Steelers, pretty good show. And remember, do that with a 5-star review and a positive comment with it. Doing so gets you a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again for everyone for listening. Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend. I'll be back in your ears on Monday. And we're done.